want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for another broadcast of the Pastor's Study. I hope the studies have been a blessing to you. Amen. We're going to be looking, our study's going to be centering around John chapter 3, the Gospel of John, chapter number 3, in verse number 30 in particular. In John chapter 3, in verse number 30, the Bible says, "He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease." And of course, here in John chapter 3, verse 30, the "he must increase." Of course, John the Baptist is speaking here, and he's talking about Jesus, saying Jesus must increase, but I, John the Baptist, must decrease. Now, at the time, historically, Jesus was physically on the earth. And what exactly was John the Baptist speaking about? Well, he was the forerunner. He was the forerunner to Jesus Christ. In fact, John's baptism, the baptism of John, was to manifest or reveal Jesus as the Messiah to Israel. Look with me, if you would, in John chapter 1, verse 31. "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." Again, John the Baptist is speaking in the context. Now, what John is saying here in John chapter 3, verse 30, he's saying that John the Baptist, must take a back seat to Jesus. See, John the Baptist's job was basically finished at the time, amen? And what John was saying is now Jesus was to take the forefront and be in the spotlight, and John was sort of just to fade away. And see, John had no problem with this, or he would not have made the statement, "He must increase, but I must decrease." I want to ask the question in our study, does John's statement apply to the Christian today? Well, the answer to that is yes, spiritually. But it's impossible in the sense that John meant it, because Jesus is not physically on the earth today as he was when John the Baptist came baptizing with water. Right now, we're told in the Word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ is seated now in the third heaven at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I as Christians. Amen? But still the statement John made in John chapter 3, verse 30, "He must increase, but I must decrease," I believe spiritually applies to the Christian today. And I want to look at that for a little bit on our study here. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, of course, the epistle of the was written to the believers. By Book of Colossians was written to the believers at Colossae by the Apostle Paul, and of course it's known as one of the prison epistles. And we see there in chapter 1 of Colossians in verse number 18. Now again, this applies to us as Christians, what Paul says here. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. Talking about Christ, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Notice, that word preeminence has to do with priority of place. Notice what it says again. That in all things, he, meaning Jesus Christ, referring to Jesus Christ, might have preeminence. Notice it says, in all things. Jesus is to take priority in every aspect of our lives as Christians, amen? He's to be number one. He's to have the number one place in our heart, amen? We're to love him first. If we're married, before our spouse, before our children, if we have children, before our family. Amen. Jesus Christ is to come before everything in our life. He's to be number one. And I believe this is very connected with what John the Baptist said in John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Amen. Jesus is to take priority, the number one place of priority, in all of our lives. And unfortunately, I believe today that's not happening with most Christians. Amen. Is that not true? Ask yourself that question. Does Jesus Christ have preeminence in all things in your life? Amen. If he doesn't, then you should be working towards that. That should be your goal. We want to notice the order. Amen. In John chapter 3, verse 30, it didn't say, I must decrease and he must increase. It says, John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. He's saying Jesus must increase first before there can be a decrease to myself. It's impossible to decrease first. You may ask, well, why must I let Jesus increase, amen, first? Why? Well, so he can get rid of the you, out of you, amen? The thing we have to understand is there is not room inside you or me for both Jesus and self. Amen? In fact, Jesus addressed this very issue in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He said, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's why we have so many defeated Christians today. They're trying to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, in the body of Christ, amen. You just can't do it. It's impossible. Most Christians today are trying to serve two masters, but it's impossible. Amen. It's impossible. The thing we have to understand, though, about this increase and decrease process is that it takes time. Amen. It takes time. Everything just doesn't happen overnight. Amen. So I don't want you to get a guilt trip or anything, but you should be working on it. It should be a day-to-day process. You know, the Lord just doesn't save us and take us to heaven. Amen. There's a Christian walk that we have to walk on a daily basis. Amen. And what he's provided us is the grace to do it. Amen. And the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we allow, the Holy Spirit's trying to conform us a little bit each day to the image of Christ. Amen. That period of sanctification or separation, amen, is a process. Salvation is an event. It happens one time. You're saved, you're born again by the Spirit of God in trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ for the payment of your sins. Amen. But we see the increase and decrease process takes time. It's over a period of time. In fact, Paul wrote in his second epistle to the Corinthians in chapter number 4, in verse 16, He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," that's the flesh, that's the old nature, that's the old man, "yet the inward man is renewed day by day." It's a daily process, allowing Christ to increase and for you, your flesh to decrease, amen, over a period of time. You know, some old sins are hard to get rid of, amen. But if we're yielded to the Spirit of God, we're yielded to Christ in our lives, we live the crucified life, we'll get a victory over it, amen. But we have to be patient. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, in verse 23, again talking about yielding ourselves over to God, over to the Lord, he said in Luke chapter 9, in verse number 23, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Again, this whole thing is a daily process. Amen. Suffering for Christ, allowing him to increase in you more and more and more each day. It just doesn't happen overnight. Amen. Hopefully what you're going to see as you grow over time, that you will grow over time. Amen. In other words, you should have more Christian growth and you should be more yielded to Christ. And he should have increased more in your life from, say, 1 year from when you were saved to 10 years, amen. And you don't reach a plateau. It continues to grow and grow and grow, amen. Christ should continue to increase, increase, increase in your life, and your flesh and you should decrease and decrease each day, day by day, amen. And what we have to see is, as we look at this process of increasing and decreasing, it's one of transformation. Amen. Look with me in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Paul says, "I beseech you," he's begging, he's pleading with the believers there at the Church of Rome, and he's speaking to us Christians today. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So each day that we get up, we're to present our bodies, amen, to the Lord. We're to be yielded to him, amen. Present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, separated. We're to present our bodies for the work of the Lord. That's what holy means, to be separated, separated from the world unto Christ. Amen. So you have to be separated from something to something. Amen. So you're born again to be separated from the world to Christ. Each day we get up, we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. No big deal, amen. Then in verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, you hear people say, "Well, I'm trying to find the will of God for my life." Well, the reason you're having trouble sometimes finding what the will of God is for your life is because you're being conformed to this world and not to Christ. That's right. Because it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind." How are you transformed? How do you renew your mind? Well, it's not by sitting in front of the television set for hour upon hour each day and taking in that garbage, because all that garbage will do is help you to be conformed, amen, to the world and not to Christ. Because it promises here, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do you do that? By being in the Word of God on a daily basis. Coming to the Word of God as a mirror, as James says, and looking in at the mirror and seeing where you're dirty and you need to be cleansed. And we know that the Bible says the Word of God will cleanse us. Amen. It will cleanse us as we allow it to go through us, as we allow the Holy Spirit to search us. Amen. And as a result, by being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You'll be able to see clearly spiritually. Amen. Because you've renewed your mind. You've allowed Christ to increase in you. And you've decreased the old you. Amen. Again, this increasing and decreasing is not only a transformation, but it's also a passing away of self. The old nature, the old man. Again, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. A new creature. You're born again. Amen. You've been spiritually renewed and regenerated. Amen. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are passed away, are they not? That old you should be passing away day by day, and all things have become new because you're a new man in Jesus Christ. Because Christ has increased in you, you should have a new walk. You should have a new talk. You should have a new outlook on life. Amen? It's a passing away. It's a passing away of self. And we can see as we look at people outwardly, and that's the only thing we can see, if there's really been a true conversion, because there should be some passing away. I'm not saying that every sin should pass away the next day or the very moment you get saved, because we're looking at this increasing and decreasing process. It is a process, and it's a process that takes time, and it's over a period of time, amen. But there should be some change. We should see some growth if there really is a true conversion, amen. You know, you should be want to be in church, amen. You know, Wednesday night for prayer service. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, revival services. Whenever the doors of the church have opened, amen. If you have allowed Jesus Christ to increase in you and let the you decrease, amen. Also, this increasing and decreasing process, it's a daily process of dying to self. Dying to self. You know, the moment, the instant you were born again, your flesh was declared judicially dead. Amen. But what you and I want to do as Christians, we want to get up every morning and drag it along with us. Amen. No, what we need to do is declare the old man dead and walk in newness of life. Amen. In Galatians chapter 2, and verse number 20, Paul wrote, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Here's a man that allowed Jesus Christ to increase, and he decreased. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ, Paul said. All our sin nature was nailed to that cross with Christ. Because Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. Amen. Look at it in Romans 6:6. Romans chapter 6 with me. In Romans chapter 6, again, Paul wrote, knowing this, that our old man, that's the flesh again, that's the self, that's the part of us that needs to decrease, is crucified with him, with Christ, in other words, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So you have a choice now. Before you didn't have a choice. Before you were saved, you had to serve sin. You didn't have a choice. But now you have a choice. And the choice is easier to make when you allow Christ to increase in you and you decrease. You've already been crucified with Christ. The body of sin has been destroyed. You have the power, amen, to not serve sin. Amen? But the problem we have is we're not dying to self on a daily basis. We haven't allowed Jesus Christ to increase in our life and allow the self, the sinful nature, the old man, to die, to decrease. Amen? You may ask, well, how do I know? Or how are we to know how we're doing in this overall process of increasing and decreasing? Well, I think the answer is quite simple. What you have to see is, or what you can see how you're doing with the allowing Christ to increase in your life and having yourself decrease is by looking at what is your life manifesting outwardly? What is being manifested in your life outwardly? Well, is it the works of the flesh? Look at it in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now it's interesting, it says the works of the flesh. This is something that you and I do. Amen. This is something we do. This is something we manifest through the unsaved flesh. Now, if you're not doing very well with the increasing, allowing Christ to increase in your life and yourself to decrease, this is what's going to be manifested. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. You see it today, time and time again. Men of God, pastors are falling to the sin of adultery. Why? Obviously, even though they're a man of God, they haven't allowed Jesus Christ to increase in their life like they should have. Fornication. We have church members hopping in and out of bed with one another, amen. Why? Because Jesus Christ has not increased in their life like he should have. Uncleanness. Amen? Uncleanness. We have Christians caught up in the sin of pornography. Why? Because Jesus Christ has not increased in their life to the extent that he should have. Amen? Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Idolatry is rampant. Amen. In our churches today, we worship the building, the ministry. Amen. The work, but not Jesus Christ. He's outside the church today knocking and trying to get in the door. Why? because Jesus Christ has not increased to the extent that he should in the brethren's life. Witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, all these things are rebellion. We have so much rebellion going on in the church. Church is being split, not because of wrong doctrine, because someone didn't shake somebody's hand, amen. Because of some stupid little idiotic thing. Why did it bother them in the first place? Because Jesus Christ has not increased in that person or person's life to the extent that it should have. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Amen. Going on. I'm not talking about the unsaved. I'm talking all this is going on in the church today. Amen. Amongst the body of Christ, because some of the brethren have not allowed Jesus Christ to increase to the extent that he should in their lives. And Paul says, "And such the like of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." But now we see, if this is being now we want to look at the fruit of the Spirit. If these things are being manifested in your life, then maybe Jesus Christ is increased to the extent he should in your life, amen? But the fruit of the Spirit. Now notice, these are things that we cannot generate or manifest on our own. These are things that have to be produced by the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The kind of love I believe that we find over in 1 Corinthians 13. Love in action. Joy, amen. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What a great contrast between the works of the flesh, things that our flesh does, amen, produces on its own, as in contrast, amen, to the fruits of the Spirit. Things that only can be produced are manifested in your life and my life through the Holy Spirit. And really, the only way that the Holy Spirit can manifest these things is if you're allowing Jesus Christ to increase in your life like he should. Like John the Baptist said. Amen. Back there in John chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. I want to ask yourself, how are you doing? How are you doing with the increasing and decreasing? Can you say about Jesus Christ that he's increased to the extent that he should be increased in your life? My prayer is, I pray that he is. Let him have his will and his way in your life. Amen. Let him increase and let yourself decrease. Well, that's all the time we have for the pastor study. If you'd like to contact me, please drop a line or a note to me, and the good people of this radio station you're listening to will give you the address. My prayer for each and every one of you is that God will richly bless you. If you're not saved, you'll be saved today. And until we meet again on the Pastor Study, this is Brother Gino wishing you well and good day.